Let's remember Christ given for us as we remember the Lord's table. The men will come and serve. If you're a Christian and you've been baptized, you're welcome to participate in the Lord's table with us. Father, we thank you for Christ, who is our wisdom. Thank you for him and the righteousness that he alone can provide for us. We thank you that you've brought us to faith, that you've called us out of darkness and into light. And we thank you for this ordinance of your church, that you've established this bread and this cup by which we remember Christ given for us. And we thank you for him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may serve. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There is the good news of the gospel. The bread is the emblem then of the body of Christ given for us. Eat it in remembrance of Christ. Christ's blood inaugurated the new covenant in which we have remission of sin. Drink it in remembrance of Christ. We will plan next week to come back to our study of Matthew. We still need to finish up a few verses in Matthew chapter 19 and then move on to the next section as well. But this morning, I wanted to bring you some thoughts, some truths from the scripture found in Proverbs chapter 3. Very important ones as well. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the ministry of his word. Father, we thank you for your scripture, and we thank you for the words that you've given to us here and that we're about to look at in Proverbs chapter 3. And we pray that you would drive them home powerfully to us, that we would understand them and we would obey them, and that as we hear your encouragement for those that are wise, that we would be then encouraged. And Father, we also pray that anyone that might hear these words today that are still dead in their sins and rebelling against you, that they would be fearful and tremble at your pronouncements that we're going to see in regard to the fool of Proverbs. And we pray, Father, that no one here would remain a fool if they still are, that they would come to faith and be born again and have the wisdom that only you can give. And Father, we also want to pray this morning for all of the people that listen to us online. We ask your blessing upon them. Those that are sick or have been injured and aren't able to be here, we ask that you would heal them and give them comfort. And we thank you for them. And we pray, Father, for those that are in distant places as well that will listen in. We pray your blessing upon them. Many of them are still healing and recovering from the effects of wicked people that crept in, so many of them wearing wool to cover the fact that they're really wolves and abusive people, wicked people that have done much harm. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to use the ministry of this little church that you've raised up here, that you might rescue those that are targets of wicked people, and that you would make us all wise in regard to the tactics and wiles of our enemy. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. At one time or another, if you've been a Christian very long at all, and probably, definitely, if you were raised in the church, that at one time or another, you probably memorized Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And there's a reason that those verses jump out at us. These are packed with wisdom, and following them, knowing them and obeying them, will save a person all kinds of grief. And yet, it does seem that very few people wrap their lives around them. Listen to this section, and then we're going to set the context and say a few things about what the scripture has to say to us here. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Now these, you know, there's verses in the ESV here and more modern translations that are harder to read, like, the account of the virgin birth and so on that we read at Christmas time, because if you're as old or older than I am, and you're raised in the church, you memorized all of those in King James Version, and so here it is, "and he will make straight your paths," but we memorized it as, "and he will direct your ways," or "he will direct your paths," but at any rate, this is a good translation, and definitely conveys what Solomon is telling us here. Here is the importance of knowing God's truth, knowing his wisdom, and then doing it. In fact, in loving it and doing it. This is emphasized over and over in the book of Proverbs. For example, chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." And again, later in chapter 1, verse 22, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I've called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. So you see, and this is true all through the rest of Proverbs, and in fact in the whole Bible, but knowing and doing God's wisdom is life. This is a life and death matter. Ignoring God's word and mocking God's word is death. It leads to death, and in fact it is death even now in this present life. So what we're considering here this morning in these proverbs, these sayings of wisdom, is not some mere old sage advice, you know, that old Mr. So-and-so down here, you know, he's going to impart some life wisdom to you. Or it's not like, let's listen to Dr. Phil's wisdom, you know, or we're going to listen to Oprah and so on. What they say isn't definitive truth. Some of it may be true. A lot of it isn't true. But you can take it or leave it, right? But that's not what we're looking at here in the Word of God. These are God's own words. They're certain. When he says, if you take this way, it'll lead to death. It will lead to death. This is not something that, well, I think I can handle this okay, you see, and then you're going to come out okay anyway. No, these are certainties. God's word cannot fail. If you go this way, it leads to life, you see. And it always will. You'll never be disappointed. So these words in Proverbs are given to us for blessing or curse, depending on how we respond to them, how we react to them. If we embrace them and believe them, we will be blessed. But if we reject them, and as Proverbs says, mock them, then we can be guaranteed that calamity is going to be our constant companion in life. Now let me say this about Proverbs. It's true, I think, of most of Scripture anyway, but definitely in Proverbs. You have to kind of think about when I'm saying to you this morning, when I say, if you go this way, Proverbs says, if you go this way, this is what's going to happen, right? If you go this way, you can expect this to happen. Well, you have to think about who is the you. Who is the you? Well, you have to apply that. Because Proverbs really is largely wisdom for this present temporal life, but it's wisdom that has ramifications for the life to come, for eternal life or eternal death. You understand this. And so it's directed, the you is directed at everyone. If you're a Christian and you're walking in the way of life, that is a blessing on you. If you're not a Christian, you're rejecting these things and mocking them, and then the you is, well, if the shoe fits, then you have to put it on, right? And so we speak these words as Proverbs is to kind of a mixed multitude. There are people that are wise and obey God's word, and there are those who are fools and who don't. Listen then again to the opening words of this chapter, all right? My son, verse 1, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of man and God. This, we see again, is a matter of life and death, isn't it? Length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. As a general rule, our experience in life in this world is what? Fools don't live very long, right? Unfortunately, some do, it seems like, but fools perish. We see all kinds of examples of this. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, and so they end up eating the rotten fruit of their own ways and devices. And all you have to do is look at the news or look at the world around you, and you see examples of this all over the place. Many people, not all of them, but many people whose lives are just a disaster, and they don't even have a roof over their heads, for instance. There's many people who have a roof over their head, but their life is a disaster too because of their own foolish ways. But many of the people that we see around us are in these conditions, these pitiful conditions, because of their own doing. Just as Proverbs says, distress and anguish has come upon them. And yet, if you want to see the foolishness, just try to tell them, have you considered there's a connection between this and what you did and this over here? And they are not going to listen. Notice the emphasis here in these first four verses on the heart. The heart. Let your heart keep my commandments. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. This is the Old Testament or Proverbs way of talking about the new birth, right? Look, you can't write words on your heart, whatever. Now, the heart here is what? The heart is a picture of that, whatever it is inside of a human being that enables us to have affections or love towards something, right? The heart. And so to write in the new covenant, God writes his law upon our heart, which is just that way of saying that in the new birth, we are made into new creations who love God's word. And this is what this father, Solomon's telling his son. Write my words on these words on the tablet of your heart. Love them. He's not just telling his son to go through the motions of obeying the Lord. Look now, you better do this. I know it can be tough, but if you don't do it, look what's going to happen over here. No, he's telling him that, look, here's God's word. It's sweet. It's good stuff. This is wisdom. This is life. Love it. Love it with all your heart, and therefore obey it, you see. And that can only happen if we're born again through faith in Christ. The alternative, what's true of every single person who refuses to acknowledge the Lord and turn to Christ in repentance? Well, listen again, beginning at verse 24, this is back in chapter 1. Because I've called and you refuse to listen. So this is God speaking to the wicked, okay? Because I've called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then you will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You can find a very parallel description of that in the opening of Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians. God will even send a deluding spirit upon the wicked because they did not love his truth. And that's what's being described here. That is to say, the warning here is which is what the fool does, if you refuse to listen to his word, you refuse to obey the Lord, then notice the certainty of the language here. He says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. There's no ifs about this. He says, when? This is going to happen. And to some people, lots of people, wicked people, it happens in this life and the next. Certainly, yes, there are wicked who seem to be just having a great time in this life. Well, their calamity is going to come with certainty when Christ judges the world then in righteousness. But a calamity is coming, a terror is coming. Just think of, as much as we can, I mean, it's almost impossible to really put yourself in that position, and I hope no one here will ever be in that position. But what the Lord is saying is that a day will come for the wicked when terror and calamity will come crashing down upon them, so much so that they call out to the Lord for rescue. He's not going to hear them, and he doesn't hear them. They can call all they want, he's not going to hear him. You know, people largely unsaved, well, you know, sadly you can see the same kind of attitude among professing Christians so often today as well, but certainly in the world, people have this idea that God is obligated to them. If I'm in trouble, God is obligated to hear my prayer. He is obligated to help me out. That's what he's there for. I don't have any use for him otherwise, but when I'm in trouble, he is obligated to help me out. And you see just the opposite here. God is not obligated to any of us. He's certainly not obligated to the wicked. So there are lots of people who will, there'll be some calamity, you know, and people will be praying that God will, you know, our prayers, and he's not going to hear. He's not going to hear the prayer then of the wicked, you see. Imagine it's talking about calamity and terror coming like a whirlwind. I've never been near a tornado, but inevitably if you look at some YouTube reports of the big ones, you know, number five, whatever they are, coming, that the people will always say, it's like a locomotive was just busting by our house. I mean, it was that kind of a roar, and people are absolutely terrified. And so think of yourself in that kind of a position, and the building's starting to come apart, and you realize that you're about ready to be ripped apart. And well, that's the imagery here for the warning that the Lord's giving. If you ignore my word, if you refuse, when I stretch out my hand to you and I invite you, come with me, come walk this way, and you say, get lost, I'm going my own way. Well, someday, terror and calamity is going to strike, and my hand's not going to be there. I won't be there. In fact, he says, you know, people don't like this. They don't like this kind of a God. You know, he says, I will mock you. I will mock you. God will mock them. He will laugh at them. Why? Because his judgments are just, and God's judgments, have you noticed? They always have a sense of Fitting irony. Why is he mocking them and laughing at them in that day? Because right now they are mocking and laughing at him, right? That's why. So he's going, you mock my word now, you laugh at my wisdom, and you reject me. Well, in that day, when terror comes upon you, I will mock and I will laugh then at you. And they deserve it, you see. Lots of people don't believe that. Again, I would say that many people that profess to be Christians in churches, local churches, they would not like that. Oh God, there's always, God wouldn't, he wouldn't do that in somebody. There must be some other meaning here. No, there isn't another meaning. He's giving them what they deserve. It's coming right back upon their own head. He's giving them what they gave. And so that's the warning. This is the importance of these things. And so, listen again now. Here's kind of the meat of this text that we want to look at. Beginning in verse 3. Let not steadfast love, this is chapter 3 again, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Now you see there the duplicity part here of Proverbs. You will find good success in the sight of God and man. So this is wisdom for this present life, but it's also wisdom for a right standing with God in eternal life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Now, I can guarantee you this. If you will just dwell on those few verses this week and really think them over, they will do you good. They will do all of us good. Let's just kind of introduce them a bit then. This matter of trusting in the Lord and not leaning upon yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, what does that mean? A lot of times in the Old Testament poetry, Proverbs or the Psalms, there's a statement and then the opposite is given. And that's what happens here. And by stating the opposite of the first part, it kind of helps you understand what the first part is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then do not lean on your own understanding. In other words, to trust in the Lord is to not lean on my own understanding of things, but trust him. Trust him. So the picture is that in our lives, every single one of us is like leaning on something. We are relying on someone or on something to guide our life, right? And we have to make decisions every single day. What informs those decisions? What informs the choices that we make and so on? Fundamentally, what Proverbs is telling us here is that there's actually, it just boils down to two choices. There's two choices of things that we are relying upon. We're either relying upon ourselves or we are relying upon the Lord. It's one of the two. And Scripture goes on to tell us that one of these sources of, or one of these objects of trust results in calamity, terror, disaster, misery, and death. And the other one results in success and favor and fulfillment and blessing and life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Most of us think too highly of ourselves, right? I mean, we do. Every one of us, we would admit, I hope that we would all admit, that there's been far too many times in our lives when we were leaning on our own understanding and not trusting trusting in the Lord. Why are we bound to go? Is this like I'm not capable of having any wisdom at all? Well, in a sense, born into this world in sin, the answer is kind of no, not really, because any wisdom or light and not true knowledge, it comes from the Lord, you see. Well, the sinner who laughs and mocks at God's wisdom and insists on writing the score of his own life, he's like a blind man. Well, I'm going to lean on my own understanding. So, yeah, I'm blind. I'm blind. And my life is like a narrow little path along a precipice, dropping off into an abyss. But I don't need any guidance. You know, I'll handle this then myself. And so his foot is set upon a slippery place. And it's only God's grace that keeps him from falling in any given moment then. We know many, many unsaved people. Many of them are nice and some ways outwardly moral, but they lean on their own understanding. That's what they trust in, and they don't trust in the Lord. So if you were to talk to them about what is your understanding of man, of your understanding of yourself, what is your understanding of the world, what is your understanding of God, what is your understanding of how'd you get here, where'd you come from, and where are you going, well, what are you going to hear? You're going to hear an answer that is informed by their own understanding. Well, I think this is how it is here. And what the warning of Proverbs is, if you lean on your own understanding, it's going to turn out that your own understanding is a staff of jello. You're going to lean on it, and you're going to fall. You see, you might put it this way. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't write your own wisdom. Don't write your own worldview. Don't write your own worldview. Instead, in contrast to that, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? Believe him. Hear his word. When he speaks, embrace his word. Believe it. And when he says things like, I will tell you. How you got here. I created you. I will tell you who I am. I will tell you how you should live and how you should use your money and how you should relate to people. Don't write your own script. Listen to me. I've written it. It's wisdom and it's life. And if you do this, things are going to go well with you and you'll have my blessing on you. But if you don't, if you write the script of your own life and you insist on doing that, it's going to go very, very wrong. Now, immediately, you start thinking, yeah, but I know people who they're definitely writing the script for their life. They've written their own worldview. And man, they're just doing great. They're making all kinds of money. They're having a great time. No, that's only an illusion. It's only an illusion. First of all, you don't know the thoughts of such a person. What's going on in their mind at night when they lay down? You know, what kind of misery is actually in their life? But even if it isn't, where are they headed? Where is their philosophy leading them? They're not trusting in the Lord. They're trusting in themselves like the rich fool. You know, I've got many goods laid up for myself. I got many days ahead of me. I've got it made. You fool, this very night your soul is required. You're not rich toward God, you see, and he perishes. And so the text goes on, verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. See, when you lean on your own understanding, What you are doing then is you're being wise in your own eyes. That's it. I, I'm gonna run the show here. Really, it's kind of a way of saying, I'm going to be God. I will be God. It's a very devilish and satanic way of thinking. Be not wise in your own eyes and fear the Lord. Now, we know from Romans chapter 1 what the chief and fundamental sin is. And, you know, immediately people start thinking about, all right, that's some really wicked stuff that people do. And camera, but probably in most cases, people don't really realize what the most wicked sin is. The most wicked sin is to live your life as if God were irrelevant. You know, that's it. Living your life as if God is irrelevant. That's the most evil. That's what brings forth his wrath. Listen to Romans 1. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they're without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, they know God. It isn't so much, in a way, even though there's no true atheist, in a way, the atheist sin isn't as evil as this. What this is knowing God is there, because everybody does. He's revealed himself clearly in the creation. I mean, you have to just think about how many blinding gymnastics you have to go through. If you just take a microscope and look at an amoeba, and you look at that thing, or look at a cell, and you look at what goes on at that level, and then you deny that there is a creator, you see. But people know, and yet it's like, I've got no use for God. I'm going my. Is that not the sin that we're completely surrounded by every single day? People living as if God were irrelevant. They go about their daily affairs, refusing to even acknowledge that God is their creator, and that every good thing that they are enjoying, he has given to them. It is to live as if we are God, and then he is not. And this is what Proverbs is warning us against. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all of our ways. What Proverbs does here is it pictures our lives in this world as pilgrims, traveling on a road, traveling on a path. And that path has all kinds of tricky turns and twists in it, some of which are quite dangerous and even deadly. Others are steep and hard going, and so we're traveling along daily, and we need help. We need a guide, or we're going to be in trouble. And to acknowledge God in all our ways is to just acknowledge, Lord, I need your help. I need your guidance. And if you ignore that and you reject that, then what's going to happen is you're going to go like, hey, things are cooking along here. I'm figuring this life thing out. Turns out you're on Broadway. The Broadway then that leads then to death. But God gives us a great promise here. He says, if you will acknowledge him in all your ways, if we admit our complete reliance upon him, he will make our paths straight. He'll make the way that we should go obvious. And in a way, easy. You know, you say, what do you mean? The Christian life is tough. And does this mean if you do this, that everything's just going to be really, really easy in your life? Well, yes and no. I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, you know, take my load. Take my burden upon you, and you're going to find out it's not a burden at all, right? That's what this is talking about. He'll make our paths clear. He'll make them straight. He'll make our paths such that you can run on them, and as you follow him, and you won't stumble and fall. Stumbling and falling is to be tripped up in the darkness by, tripped up by the enemy. You know, that's kind of the thing that you'll see in Scripture. Be not wise in your own eyes. John Bunyan, you know, as you think about this imagery of the life as a road, and travelers on it, John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. And he's got several examples in Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan put it in there of when Christian, he kind of got wise in his own eyes, and he got in trouble for it as well, and had to repent and then come back. Well, being wise in our own eyes then is the opposite of acknowledging him in all of our ways. Being wise in our own eyes is, I'll run that. Well, I think this. This is what I think. Well, yeah, but the Bible says, well, I know, but this is what I think. See, that's the thinking of the fool. That's the way then of the fool. I don't need any guide. I know where I'm going. I know how to get there. Good luck, right? Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words, and he will mock you. he will turn on you. There are people, there's lots of people where, you know, we really should not waste our words on them. Don't speak in the hearing of a fool. Yeah, a fool, a person who's like this, who refuses to acknowledge the Lord in all their ways, and they're leaning on their own understanding and life, and that's it, and they're not going to listen. Okay, well, there you go then. In contrast, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This idea of God's words being refreshment and healing, what does this mean? Sin messes us up. Sin's got us messed up. We're sick. In a sense, we're born into this world dead, but we're sick and we're injured by it, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. That's what happens when I sin. And many people around us, many people in the world today are sick and suffering, even physical pains, as a direct result of their refusal to acknowledge the Lord. It is a direct result. And you have to think, you know, I wonder, Craig would know better than any of us, because he probably sees this all the time. How many people are depressed and even mentally ill, or for, I'm not sure if that's exactly the right term or not, but their mind is messed up, and they're even suffering physical effects because they're a fool. And they won't embrace and love the wisdom of God. I'm going to do it my way, you see. It's devastating. And yet, when we turn and we repent and we come to faith in Christ and we're born again and we quit leaning on our own understanding and we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, what happens? Well, it says, it'll be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I bet that there have been lots and lots of people in history who are even, not just mentally and spiritually, of course, but even physically beat up. And then they could tell you that when they repented and they came to Christ, remarkable change, you know. Suddenly, I don't have to take these pills all the time anymore. And that sort of a thing, I'm sure, is hopefully has happened frequently. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Your flesh will be healed and your bones refreshed. What's the flip side of that? Don't do it. And you're going to get beat up in this life. You're going to be a physical, emotional, spiritual wreck. Well, here's some just a few thoughts of application for believers who do believe God's word, and we do want to love and obey his word. We want to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, all right? Well, in all of our ways, acknowledge him. And the first thing we have to acknowledge is, I don't always do that. I mean, this is just something we have to work at this and pay attention with, right? In all our ways, acknowledge him. All our ways. It's a daily, moment-by-moment task. What does that say? In everything that you do, everything, acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge him. Lean on him. What is his word on this, you see? Trust in him. Look to him then for guidance. We know from Romans 8 that the Spirit of Christ is in us, and he's leading us, and he's directing us. Listen to him. Listen to him. Follow then his leading. Practically, how do you do this? How do you acknowledge the Lord? Well, first of all, prayer is the language of faith. Prayer is the language of faith. Prayer is the language of a person that's leaning on the Lord, trusting in the Lord rather than trusting then in themselves. So we consult him, right? And then we read his word. That's how he's going to so often inform us. And I look to his word. I pray and I ask him for wisdom and direction. That's how you trust. That's how you trust in the Lord. And you believe his word. And then you also believe his promise. And you have a right to believe his promise if you're trusting in him and not leaning on your own understanding. He will direct your path. To direct my path. Direction. I need direction. I need guidance. I need a guide. He will order our path in the way we should go. And he says, and this has got to be referring to his spirit in the believer. He's telling us this is one of the blessings of the new covenant. You're walking along, you're traveling along, you're living life day by day. And it's like this road. And you start to make a wrong turn. You start to do just take wrong advice of whatever it might be. You start to go the wrong direction. And he says, you will hear a voice behind you. And it's going to be saying to you, here's the way. Go this way. And then you go that way. This is incredible. This means we have in us, by his spirit and by his word, we have been given to us in Christ this guide who will direct our paths if we will simply lean on him and trust in him and acknowledge him in all of our ways. And that's a pretty good promise. Father, we thank you for this great privilege that we have in Christ and the direction that you give us. We ask your forgiveness for the many times that we do lean on our own understanding, and we do that so easily, and we forget about you. We pray that you would very quickly bring us back to reality and to show us the error of our ways, and that voice that's directing us would scream at us, and we would quickly get back on the path. Thank you, Father, for these truths. Thank you for your blessings in Christ, we pray. Amen.